Okay, well, hi everyone.
Hey guys, everyone here.
You don't know us. If you do, we're new. Hi, we're new here.
Yeah, but we've done this before now.
My name's Travis.
My name's John, and
you're listening to the brand new podcast, yes, Mean Girls Interrupted.
Yes, Mean Girls Interrupted, and that is a mashup of two different titles of movies.
If you couldn't tell,
which are Mean Girls and Girl Interrupted, and the reason for that is because you're now listening to something that involves us talking about movies.
More
film,
even more specifically, movies we have not watched. And
yeah, so we are coming. So the whole premise of this fiasco, if you will, this shitstorm,
this dumpster fire,
we do curse on this. We on do. This
program. We are explicit.
We are very explicit. Don't let our voices, our kind voices and demeanor fool you. We are wretched ass bitches.
We are wretched. We're queer.
And we're very queer. We usually wake up in a gutter.
Yes, yes.
In the morning. Yes.
In a K-hole,
for instance. Or a swamp. A K-hole, yes.
I woke up in a K-hole.
Right, right. So just imagine us filming, recording this from a circuit party at 3 a.m.
Which is exactly what we're doing.
That's our little brief introduction for you. So welcome to the party. We're so glad you're here.
Welcome to the party. Welcome to the podcast. And hey,
leave your poppers at the door.
Are you holding?
We have to sell our stock.
Actually we do. Leave your poppers at the door.
Let's see here. So everyone.
Yes.
We are, we're kicking off this thing by discussing film, movies.
Yes.
And it's not going to be encyclopedic. It's not going to be clinical, but it will be alarming.
It'll be alarming. Because, sometimes humorous. Mostly.
Yes.
The point is to be humorous. Now, let us put this. Okay. Let me preface this, since this is the beginning and the first episode.
Yeah.
We're not going.
Do it.
Okay. There's a lot of people who put in a lot of hard work to make movies. We're not shitting on these people.
We're not critics.
We're not professional journalists. We are going to talk about whether or not we liked it. We're going to talk about it. Period.
Aspects of it.
If we didn't like it, that's our business. You can like
themes.
It.
Themes. Yeah. And you know what? We're going to touch on a lot of like classic movies, like things that are legendary film, influential film. But today,
this movie is not one of those things.
Yeah. And so today we will be discussing.
Let me ask you, John, speaking of it being influential, did it influence you to?
I think it influenced. I think I remember the time that this. I saw like a billboard once and I was like, ugh. But so just to let you guys know what we're talking about.
This movie made you hate all billboards.
Right, right, right. And I had successfully avoided this movie for 15 years or more.
Same.
It could be more.
John, it's 21. 21 years.
Yeah.
Or not 21. I'm so sorry. 16 years. Yeah. I can't do math. Hi, everyone.
Do you want to introduce what we're talking about today?
I don't want to. I want you to.
Okay. Okay, cool. Because it's, you're going to be discussing the, I think it's 2005
film.
2005, a hit blockbuster film, not said ironically, Monster-in-Law.
Monster-in-Law.
Starring Jennifer Lopez and Jane Fonda.
And someone named Michael Vartan, who I'm guessing is the lead.
Oh, right. Well, we'll get to him a little later.
Wait, do you know who that is? Because I haven't, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I remember like he kind of had his moment during this time.
Doing what?
Like he must be like somebody's daughter.
He's
like
someone's daughter. Yeah.
Like for sure. Because like you see him here and there, and I think he was like on a TV show or something like that.
Oh.
But it's like I remember like having a little bit of a crush on him whenever I would see him in things, and I was like,
"You did?"
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a tasty little 2005 morsel.
Wait, you're right, though. Okay, wait. I just found some stuff on him. He was an alias.
Yes.
He was an alias.
Yes.
He was in the the E drama. I didn't know E had original drama.
E has drama.
The arrangement where that he's getting his insides rearranged.
Oh, interesting. Yes, cool.
That's
the role of a lifetime.
The role of a lifetime on E. He was in, what was it? Never Been Kissed. Okay.
Oh, he was in Never. He was he had like the leading male who's always second to the woman protagonist in like sort of chick flicky movies. So Never Been Kissed. He was like the teacher who runs down the bleachers to kiss Drew Barrymore. It's all coming back to me. Also circa 2005.
John, can I tell you something though? Okay.
Yes.
It's not until you brought that up. You are absolutely correct. And I loved Never Been Kissed.
Great. It's an iconic moment in the history of movies. But so also, you know how Drew Barrymore has her daytime talk show now?
Yes.
Like she actually had him on and they talked about that. Yes, they totally just made out for 30 minutes. And then
they were talking. Yeah. Please continue. They were talking about that scene or what?
They were talking about how it was like an iconic rom-com scene. So he's like a rom-com guy. He's always like the arm candy of like Jennifer Lopez or Drew Barrymore, apparently.
Well, in contrast to him being a rom-com guy, apparently he was in Colombiana, which doing what? I don't know.
Oh, that's a rom-com.
Colombiana?
I'm just kidding.
The one with... I'm just kidding. I was like, it is? I was like,
Colombiana with Zoe Saldana?
Yeah.
But right.
Well, good for him. I'm glad that he was able to do stuff because TBH, I didn't... And also, I'm looking at a picture of him on Wikipedia right now.
And a current one? A present day?
It looks current, but also he looks like he has. And this is just me knowing from personal experience, Coke sweats. So,
ooh, cool. Speaking of Coke sweats. So Monster-in-Law is like a very... I would say a better title for this would be Misogyny in Law.
Oh.
Problematic in Law. Outdated in Law.
All of those would fit. I have a great title for this.
Yes.
Oops, you've wasted your time. In Law.
And I guess if you don't know, and
now you
nor
know.
Should you, and please don't use this as fuel to go watch it if you never have, because you're gonna waste 2 hours of your life. So the premise to Monster in Law is this woman, Jennifer Lopez, she is kind of like this Venice, California waify person who like works a bunch of odd jobs, and she's a free spirit.
Oh,
and
she is the freest.
One day she watches a guy jogging who has terrible farmer's tan. So did you notice that?
I did actually.
So he has terrible farmer's tan, and they lock eyes, and that's like love at first sight, but they don't really talk right away.
It's fucking serendipity. It's the dumbest form of serendipity probably ever.
And I'm like, you're on the beach at Venice and you lock eyes and fall in love with like the pastiest. Like, yeah, sure, he's attractive, but I mean, the most attractive on the beach? I don't think so, hunty.
No, here's the thing, though. Listen, John was in the middle of telling you the premise of this, which, if you must know, is an absolute... monster in and of itself.
So they lock eyes, they even they fall in love and at some point, and then the problem happens in the second act whenever he proposes. He takes her to meet his mom, who is a complete psychopath,
and Jane
he
Fonda.
Proposes to her. It's Jane Fonda, and she hot and also chewing up that scenery.
Yeah.
Chewing up every single scene that she is in. She was like, you guys are going to pay me $5 million to sit next to Jennifer Lopez and talk to her the entire time. I got my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
Through the whole rigmarole of the movie, Jane Fonda's character tries to break up Jennifer Lopez from her son. And because she thinks that Jennifer Lopez is not of their high class society, and is also going to steal her only child away from her.
Yeah.
So
she keeps
calling. That's the premise.
That's the premise. Honestly, it's very easy. She keeps getting called a temp in that movie. Also, can we circle back to the beginning when you were talking about her jobs? Yeah,
because there are some things going on that we need to unpack here.
It's a very
thin plot, but there's a lot of shit piled onto it.
Which, if you think about something that's thin, it doesn't hold a lot of weight.
And yeah, but this has a lot of things going on. Because first of all, so I was watching it, and then I immediately texted Travis while I was watching it, and I was like, is Adam Scott, who's in the hit series Severance, and also Party Down.
Party
and
all Down, this shit. Love.
Amazing actor, great comedy, also good dramatic chops. He's in this movie from 2005 as the gay, Jennifer Lopez's gay neighbor.
The gayber, if you will.
Yeah, and he's not overacting it at all. He's like just being Adam Scott, but they just like slapped these weird shirts on him. Like one said, like, your future sugar daddy. And like...
John, yeah. I didn't even notice that. What? I didn't even notice that shirt.
Yeah, there's a scene in there where he's like wearing a shirt that says your future sugar daddy.
Wait.
And he's like,
why do I kind of want that though?
Right. So like they sort of like packed the gay onto him in other ways, like via dialogue and shirts that say weird stuff.
So, honestly.
But it's such a problematic it's token for sure.
It's token for 2005. Like, I think, and you and I did kind of talk about it after we were like, it's, he's well, not, just,
I
mean,
I don't mind. Right. Right. But that I didn't mind so much, but it was whenever like gay stuff kept being brought up as a punchline where I was like, no, like whenever, so there's this before Jennifer Lopez and the love of her life actually are able to get together and be in a relationship. She gets confused because she's catering as a side job at nighttime. It happens to be an event that he's at.
And somehow.
Yeah. And so she ends up talking to him, and this jealous girl is like, I'm going to take this lower class lady out for good.
What was her name? Evian?
I don't know.
What they call her?
A blondion?
Yeah.
I don't know. So just like your typical blonde Karen. Oh, I think her name was Karen.
Was it? Honestly, probably. It
but like she lies to Jennifer Lopez and is like, actually, you're barking up the wrong tree because the love of your life is gay. And so it becomes this whole hijinks throughout the first act. Like they really stretch this confusion out that like he's gay. So she's they're going to miss each other. They're not going to link up because she thinks that he's gay. And then he starts pursuing her and she's like, you're gay. And he's like, no, I'm not.
But wait,
why would you ever think that?
But wait, can I? I need to first. I have to go back. They actually don't stretch it out. This. Okay. Homegirl is like, he's a gay. He likes to suck dick and cocks. You're barking up the wrong tree. Not in those words, but like they pretty close. Also, I think there was another storyline with her because she pops in only twice in that movie, but I think some of her parts were left on the cutting room floor.
Oh, okay, for that's sure. A. For sure. B,
the very next scene, she is on the beach. Jennifer Lopez's character, whose name is Charlie, they call her Charlie. Is right. on the beach. She's watching like a
Charlotte,
dog.
But it's Charlie.
Well, she is a Charlotte. She is a Charlotte. She's a Charlotte and a Charlie. So homie shows up on the beach and starts hitting on her. This all happens within, I don't know, 60 seconds of her finding out he's gay. And also, then whatever whenever span that of happened. Time.
So whenever that happened, I was like, okay, so I live in California and I've been on the beach. Do you know how hard it is to find somebody on the beach?
I don't.
Whenever you, this is before cell phones, apparently, because nobody had a fucking cell phone in the, there were all landlines all day. And so, so it's not like he's like texting her and being like, where are you at on the beach? He comes out of fucking nowhere with coffee. Two coffees as if he had been watching her from before she woke up from outside of her apartment, because he found out somehow and stalked her to the beach and was like, now's my moment.
Coffee. He had
she's
coffee.
Like, she's less than surprised to see him, by the way.
She's like, oh my God. She's like, I really love. She was like, you seem like she's a really like, nice oh, guy. Wow,
what are you doing here? Get out of here, gay.
Yeah. Well, no, for real. She really is like, you seem really nice yeah. and great, but like, you know,
but you suck dick and cock.
Dick and cock.
And he's like, yeah, I know, but I'm straight.
He's like, why would you think that? She doesn't say, oh, yeah. Your friend told me. She yeah. literally, what it does is it creates like that opening for her to pop back up and create havoc once again.
Which, yeah. And also they tease up that moment, by the way, if I can just get critical of the storytelling.
Oh, you can. Trust me, you can. Just like,
yeah. This like really high quality written movie. So like that whole thing, that tension that they built up by her not confessing who told her the lie that he's gay. They try to pay it off down the line whenever she comes back into the picture and she's like, and then it's exposed that she's gay. But the fiance character, the love of the life, is just like, who, what? And then like it's totally glossed over and not even a thing because that character doesn't matter in the story.
No, the character actually was useless. I literally was like, okay, because I've never seen this. When I first saw her pop up, I was like, oh, she's going to be a problem. Turned out she was not a problem at all. She literally kissed him further down the road in the movie. Yeah. Nothing. He was like, babe, it's not what it looks like. Well, what does it look like?
She gets over that. She gets over that right away.
She was ready to fucking swallow.
Yeah.
She was ready.
She was like, she did not care. She was like, I want to be caught. Yeah. So after they link up on the beach and they both like settle on, we're attracted to each other. Cut to months later. We're in the second act.
And oh my God. It's
we cut to Jane Fonda, who is an extremely legendary, like talk show interviewer personality, sort of like a Barbara Walters who has interviewed the Dalai Lama, which she mentions 10 times throughout the entire fucking movie. Don't forget,
there's a picture of them together later.
Yeah. It's like far away, so you can't see the bad Photoshop.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody used clippings. It's actually Mod Podge. It's just like...
Yeah, right. It was like a whole art department that cost like $1 million.
Yes, exactly.
So for 2005 technology. Ugh. But, she is doing an interview of like a Britney Spears.
I was going to say that girl looked just like Britney.
They made her look exactly like Britney Spears. Like
Britney. And also I was like, why did Britney never wear stars on her titties? She was looking fierce. That bitch was sitting in the chair.
You know what this was? It was definitely like
Daphne Aguilera.
It was Daphne Aguilera, but it was definitely. Because if I can think back to 2005, 2004, Britney, it was pre her meltdown, pre shaving of the head, and pre what's that album that she came back with that's like super dirty and raunchy?
Circus.
It's
Circus.
This movie came out pre that, but predicted Britney's
downfall.
Downfall and like inauguration into total dirty slutty Britney.
Which, by the way, like, was this before? Because they had her in that bodysuit with the crystals on it in the show.
Right.
She sounded like Britney.
She did, but they were like, but Britney at this time in real life was like, was still doing, holding on to that good girl. Like, she was still sexy, but she was a good girl.
No, because.
She did dance with that bikini and the snake already.
And she also had the crystal bodysuit where she was fully nude in that crystal suit. And she had done Toxic. She was now turning more into the Britney that we saw in Monster in Law.
Okay.
Which is why I think that suit with the star titties, I think that was a reference to that bodysuit. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they started digging at her for her 2007.
They absolutely did. Because they even gave her the haircut with like the really blunt. It was super straight. Also, they gave her the blunt.
So we also have another podcast called Travis and John on the Internet. And there is no episode where we don't bring up Britney Spears
somehow.
So all of you joining in from our hit podcast, Travis and John on the Internet, thank you for following us over here. And you will see that we're always going to talk about Britney every single time.
We're always, even if Travis and John on the Internet somehow fizzles away, we're not sure what the future of that is. We want to do something else, but we're going to keep it for now. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
It's full of holes, just like the plot of Monster in Law.
Yes.
But anyway, so Jane Fonda is like this legendary bajillionaire thing. And she is told before she interviews this Britney Spears character that she has been replaced by a much younger, hotter, bouncier interviewess. And so she still she wants to go out with her dignity. She does the interview anyway, but she freaks out on Britney Spears and attacks her, chokes her, goes into the loony bin for a few months.
Yep.
And then that's where we start back up.
That's where we start back up. She's out.
We start following the Jane Fonda character.
Also, Wanda Sykes jarring. Is in it. Wanda Sykes is Jane Fonda's assistant.
They muddy the waters on that, I think, intentionally, because it is full tokenism.
I literally cannot. Say what now?
The Wanda Sykes character is like a full token, like the sassy black character.
Honestly, I kind of got the same vibes, too.
Yeah. So this movie is this problematic in law.
It's pretty. Honestly, it's pretty dated. I think. Yeah. Oh, also, what I was telling you before. Was this movie, just so everyone knows, so here's a little fact, a fun fucking fact for you.
Yeah.
If you love fun things.
Yeah, this movie, I keep wanting to call this Made in Manhattan, but it's honestly, not. It's Monster
it's
in
basically
Law.
The same. So this movie was made on a $43 million budget. And
good Lord.
It grossed $154 million. Now,
yeah.
That is over $100 million this movie made. And here's the thing.
That's not counting. That's only theatrical release.
That's only theatrical.
By the way.
But here's the thing. All right. I have to point this out. Every single thing took place in one area, one place. There was two locations, Charlie's apartment or Monster in Law's home. The budget was not on location. Okay. Or the beach.
The budget was on Jennifer Lopez's. But which they feature here in this movie so she has like this whole like drama where like
the dress.
Okay, so yeah, Jane Fonda's character is like trying to undermine them. This is the first hijinks after Jane Fonda discovers that they are engaged to be married. Her precious boy.
She doesn't.
Which they have
she
a perverted relationship.
She doesn't just discover.
Oh, she witnesses the proposal.
He proposes. To Charlie, what's his name? Upon I don't even know what the character's name is. What
I don't
is his
know
name?
Because he's so incidental. He doesn't even matter.
John,
the
right? Okay.
The husband who this the whole drama is about, this fiance guy, and he's like, he literally is only there to be like sort of arbitrarily like conflicted about things. So whenever things are really going bad between Jennifer Lopez and Jane Fonda, he has to leave town on business and he isn't
flies.
There for a lot.
He's gone. It's very convenient.
He is never there. And also as things heat up and like the stakes raise and their relationship is actually going to fizzle out because of Jane Fonda's like fucked upery. He like, totally sides with his mom.
John, he's a literal plot point. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no character development.
He never stands up for J-Law.
Ever.
Wait, that's Jennifer Lawrence. J-Lo.
who cares?
Yeah. He never stands up. He's never put into a position where he needs to stand up for Jennifer Lopez at all.
Well, he won't. Like, he wouldn't, even if he were in the position. He's like, yeah, but my mom this. It's like, dude, your mom. It needs
it's
crazy. Serious help.
Yeah, so she's an actual psychopath, and so the first thing that she does to thwart their engagement, because she basically wants to marry her own son.
She's jealous. She wants to have sex with her son.
And so she Yeah, so she throws this giant, huge, luxurious party and invites, obviously, her son and her son's fiance, Jennifer Lopez, but doesn't tell them that it's black tie.
Nope.
So Jennifer Lopez, being the bohemian lady that she is, shows up in a completely acceptable and fine dress.
Honestly, she was in a white dress. It was sleeveless. I noticed. She looked
great.
Apparently, she was in flip-flops.
She had a full face.
She's like, yeah, I don't want to meet them in flip-flops.
Yeah, she basically, like, willow-pilled it with an entry look.
Honestly?
She showed up in a shirt that said angle.
John, at that moment, I knew she was going to win.
Yeah.
When she was in those fucking platforms, those white platforms. Also, and that
also talk about
shirt,
undermining people's expectations of you.
Undermined the whole show. She played it perfectly. Sorry, this isn't a Willow Pill podcast, but we have to. I kind of wish she had been cast in Monster in Law, like in
for
2005.
Sure. Could you imagine?
She was a zygote. Yeah. Isn't that what?
Yeah. But so she shows up and she's like, I'm not wearing the right dress. Misogyny in law. And then, but no worries. Jane Fonda, who's wearing a turban for some reason, is
She looked like she was going to tell you your fortune, and she was looking in a crystal ball. That is what she looked like.
She's like, welcome to this lavish party. No worries about your dress, honey. I'm Jane Fonda, and I've purchased you a dress because I figured you were going to show up looking crazy.
She was like, yeah, you're going to be a gutter troll. You're going to roll up here looking like a swamp donkey Marie. And here you are. I have a dress for you upstairs.
Yeah. So as expected, you did not disappoint or surprise me. So Jennifer Lopez is changing into this really chic vintage dress, but its size is too small. And so, but the costume designer of this movie clearly tailored that shit around her ass.
Because small at the hips.
Did you notice how many shots there were with that too tight dress on her ass with no panties?
Yeah, small at the hips. They said, here you go. But she was wearing underpants. Don't you love that word? Like, underpants.
There was a shot where she, underpants.
Underpants.
Underpants in law.
Wouldn't it be weird to call them bloomers?
Yeah.
So we just start calling them bloomers from now on. What were bloomers? Yep. Did you just like actively shit in them?
Yes.
Sorry, but back to her form-fitting gown.
Yeah, so she's like, this isn't working out because the dress is too tight, and she rips it, which that whole thing was porny, by the way. She's like trying to pull down this dress that's too tight. It's this too tight dress. My boobies are jiggly. It's like that. Well, it was that whole vibe.
Well, it rips right. It rips. It does
rips
tear.
Right at the panties.
It does.
It tears and you see her panties.
That's where
it's
you
crazy.
See the underwear. You're like, oh, she is wearing underwear. It's like, who's this movie? Who's this movie made for? The dudes who.
I feel it. That's like the. The market is like couples who go to see a chick flick. And so that's for the dudes in the theater.
John, I'm not going to lie to you. And this might come to you. This might come as a surprise. I love a rom-com, okay? When you suggested this, no, I'm not joking. I actually love rom-coms. I know they follow the same structure. It's, but here's the thing. This movie was not Crazy Stupid Love. Crazy Stupid Love, in my opinion, is one of the best romantic comedies ever made.
I haven't seen it.
It's very good. It's actually good, which is weird to say about
a
romantic comedy.
It's still considered a rom-com?
Yes.
And, interesting.
Everyone in that movie is absolutely hot too. Like everyone's hot in the movie, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Monster in Law.
Monster
so
in Law.
But I do love a rom-com. So when you suggested this, I was like,
this is going to be great.
No, I actually kind of was like, cause I, for about a month, John, I was on Netflix just watching rom-coms and this
you
one.
Were?
Oh yeah. This was during the pandemic.
What's your favorite? So Crazy Stupid Love would be considered your favorite rom-com.
Also Never Been Kissed, which we already talked about, is absolutely one of them. And
what other, did you do some Sandra Bullocks?
Oh, okay. So I have
talked about a rom-com queen. She just
She was a rom-com queen. Absolutely. Miss Congeniality.
Yeah. Miss Congeniality was a thing.
Miss Congeniality was a perfect rom-com. It literally hit every note and it was funny.
Yeah. And it was like, it had like risque humor, but not in the way that monster-in-law executes it.
This movie was not funny.
Well, also, Sandra Bullock is a funny person. And
she's absolutely a smoke show.
Yeah, she's a smoke show, but also she has comedic timing and delivery. And she does like fucking pratfalls and shit. She knows comedy.
She understands.
But Jennifer Lopez, sorry, babe, stick to dance and move them legs.
Listen.
Because if you want to talk about a wooden performance, a lackluster joke delivery, because there were like, but I feel like they cast Jane Fonda in this movie to like crowd Jennifer Lopez in pretty decent delivery, even though like everything was really dumb and reductive as far as like rom-coms go. Like Jane Fonda's performance, I was like, she's a professional.
Well,
she is a professional actress.
Yes.
And she knows what she got into signing on to this movie. And she totally went above and beyond performance wise and like hit all the notes. But her scene partner is Jennifer Lopez being like undermining every single joke.
John,
it's crazy.
Jane Fonda had not been in a movie for 15 years prior to this.
I can see that. And she's like, 15. She's like, this is my moment. And you're not going to ruin it for me, Jennifer Lopez.
She had come back to do this movie after a 15-year hiatus. First, yeah. That's a long fucking time. Okay.
That's a very long. Look what she's working with during those times. It's like these really dumb roles for women. And also she is of a certain age at this time. And like, there's nothing else out there.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, not during this time. What was she going to do? I can't remember movies.
I bet she demanded that they write her more into this thing. Because every single scene that she has with Jennifer Lopez, she upstages Jennifer Lopez to the max.
She literally is the only thing that kept the movie going. Now,
like, yeah, to like, it's like she, like she, I feel like she hadn't, she's just a professional. I feel like she, like, I was getting professional actor vibes. Whereas with Jennifer Lopez, I'm like, wait, you mumbled through that punchline? Why? She was mumbling through punchlines.
Well, also, first, okay. I liked Jennifer Lopez in The Cell.
Cell can do no wrong.
I thought The Cell was an incredible movie. Okay.
As a young gay male.
And I legitimately thought that she was a great part of that movie. I don't think they could have picked a better, they could have, but she played the role well.
Yeah. And it's also, that was a fashion movie for sure. And
when he has his nips pierced and that bar is going across him right before they rip him off. Spoiler alert. Yeah.
That was my sexual awakening.
What? When he ripped his titties off?
I want to be trapped in that nightmare.
No. Oh, sorry. We kind of...
All jokes aside. Jane Fonda showed up to set on throughout Monster in Law and was like, this is how it's done. Learn a book.
She...
Jennifer Lopez.
And the thing is, it's like, clearly... Jennifer Lopez and Jane Fonda together were incredibly bankable. For the fact that they made over $100 million just box office is pretty insane.
Yeah. And it was like, I feel like at the time people probably showed up to that movie being like, who the fuck is Jane Fonda and why is she getting so much screen time? But I also love her in a way. I feel like it was a great combination because great casting. Like they knew they had to like counter Jennifer Lopez's lackluster comedic chops. Like she's not good at the hijinks because there are a lot of hijinks going on up in here. And yeah, Jennifer Lopez is not bringing the funnies.
No,
at all.
John,
how did you feel about that?
I literally did not think the movie was funny. There were no parts of that movie that I thought were funny.
And they threw in like Wanda Sykes. They had Will Arnett. They had Adam Scott. They had, who else did they have? They had, who was it? Was there another like major comedic actor at the time?
I'm not sure.
They leaned on Wanda Sykes a lot for like the real humor,
for
like
the funny parts of it.
Yeah, like anything that like kind of got a laugh was mostly Wanda Sykes because she's also a professional. But she's like, but she's She is Jane Fonda's assistant.
I hated her character.
And best friend.
I hated her character.
But her character was, she was like, she was playing all sides, and she was sort of like this arbitrary finesser, I guess, in a way. Like her character's her character would arbitrarily switch back and forth from Jane Fonda, you're being a nightmare and why are you,
to being, I'm gonna help you,
fully helping her, and then in the next breath she's like, you're crazy, what are you doing, I'm done with you, oh by the way, let me just help you out with this whole deception plan.
Exactly, which is why I was like, dude, pick a fucking lane.
Flip-flopping.
It actually annoyed me so bad. And I thought at the point she was going to change was when the only part of the movie that I thought was clever and kind of funny was when they were driving away from Charlie and the son's house. And she has the bridesmaid's dress and she tosses that bitch out the window. I thought I was like, honestly, yes, I would have done the same. And I thought that was kind of clever. I was like, that's funny. And I wonder if it was staged or if she just did it.
I mean, at this point,
had to have been staged.
No, yeah, it was staged because obviously they had like a turnaround camera situation. So it was clearly scripted. But I mean, a stroke of genius on the writer's part.
But that was the only part where I literally was like, okay, that's kind of funny. But it had nothing to do with the interactions. It was a literal dress being tossed out of a car because it's fucking ugly.
Yeah.
Speaking of ugly, the wardrobe, which we talked about. Yes,
we're getting into it right now. We're not talking about plot anymore because we have too much to talk about and say about the fashion of 2005.
No, we can still go back to the plot. The plot's this is a muddled.
Huge blockbuster movie, by the way. Huge blockbuster movie.
$43 million.
They have the budget. They have the budget for whatever they want.
Dude,
for whatever
she
they
looked
want.
Like she fucking walked out of Old Navy.
Yeah,
no.
With like these weird flared leg blue jean things, flip flops, and you take it away with the rest.
No, please. So okay,
I can't. I'm getting too worked up.
The problem.
I can't do it.
Well, the thing is, it's like you say though, they have this budget where it can be amazing. Okay, I don't know where they put all this money up their own asses. Clearly,
Jennifer Lopez was very expensive in 2005.
Which is, I mean, yes, they made their money back, but also. I think they were trying to go for this whole bohemian thing. This is where I want to touch base on the actual like costuming of this because in the very beginning of the movie, if you remember, it shows Jennifer Lopez drawing in a sketchbook, a fashion design. And I was like, oh
my God, that's
she's
right.
going to be a fashion designer, which I thought was like, okay, cool. So then I feel like they added all these temp jobs.
Oh, my God.
The first thing you see is the fashion design.
You just reminded me of something that they built up the entire movie, but never paid off.
They fucking dropped it.
Oh, my God. Okay, go ahead.
They dropped it, John. They dropped the
whole
thing.
This just made me hate this movie so much more.
John, I noticed in the beginning, I was like, oh, cool. She's a fashion designer. He brings it up to the mom at one point that they bring it up that she went to school for design, but now she's a temp. John, she looked like shit the entire fucking movie.
Yeah. So what?
There wasn't
one part. Can you tell the audience at home, our friends at home, exactly what is terrible about this fashion you're talking about?
Fucking
please and thank you.
Sundress over jeans, everyone.
Sundress over jeans and flip-flops.
You guys?
And or sneakers.
Think about it. Think about it.
Also, they're not just any dress. They're like a dress that has straps. You know what I mean?
It's thick straps. And it had this baby doll cut where it's cut right under the bust.
Yeah. So they're basically baby doll dresses with flared blue jeans.
No.
And sneakers and white socks.
No.
It's,
absolutely
it's
not.
Out of control. It's out of control.
If you guys
but also
don't understand what I'm talking about, like I'm going to give you a reference right now. And it was played by what is her name? She was High School Musical Sharpay. Now, let me tell you, the real life person who plays Sharpay in High School Musical is Ashley Tisdale.
Okay.
Ashley Tisdale has an iconic look on the red carpet where she is wearing a sundress over jeans and these fuck ugly boots that go all the way past her ankle. Okay. And
is this around the same time? What year?
It's around the same time. It's around the same
apparently,
time.
Apparently in 2005-ish, I feel like I do remember this trend because I do remember girls walking around with like full dress and for some reason blue jeans. And it was like, what is happening here? John, like, why? Yeah,
it was like,
why the blue jeans with, and it's not even like a mini dress. It's no. Like past the knees.
It's a literal, it's not quite a midi. Honestly, if they had put her in a midi dress with jeans, I would have turned that bitch off. Do you remember? I'm not even going to talk about, it doesn't matter.
But here's the thing. So Travis and I were talking, we're like texting back and forth about this thing. Cause I was like livid about certain things, but Travis was like, after the second dress and pants look, like,
yeah, you knew
it was gonna go down. And I was like, oh my god, yes. And I had to search it. And so if you search not made in Manhattan, no. Monster in if you search Monster in Law dress pants, it shows up on Google Images.
It's
that alarming that other people noticed.
God, and it's like, really bad.
And it's not just one instance. It's all throughout the movie. And what I thought was happening was that she was like coming home from like her crazy odd end job. And she was wearing one of those like, what are those things called?
A pinafore.
Pinafore. Like, which is like an apron. I thought she was wearing an apron, which kind of looks dressy from the front. It does. Over pants.
Sorry, I call it a pinafore. No. It is a pinafore. Excuse me.
She's wearing a sundress with straps.
Yep.
Over pants.
And don't, not one of you. I don't have an email yet that you guys can, we're going to have an email, but I don't want one of you to email me and be like, it's a tunic, bitch. No, it wasn't. Don't you tell me it was a tunic.
It was a full dress with straps. They used
sundresses.
It was baby. It was baby doll dress.
It was Forever 21. Throw it in the trash. Yeah. It wasn't great. It was not good.
Yeah. So I thought it was like some kind of an apron smock situation, but no. Full on dress.
Do you think it was
full on jeans?
It had to have been part of the character development. They're like, we need her to look immature.
Well, maybe. No, I think what it was just like their lame attempt at making her everyday, like pedestrian.
Like, she was less than pedestrian.
But in 2005, if I am not mistaken, there were the countless mall stores of the wizard sleeve, and they didn't feature that once.
No.
If you were alive in 2005, you remember the blousy wizard sleeve. Oh, do you remember it?
The wizard sleeve? It was a bunch at the end?
No, it's like a lady's like blousy kind of frilly thing. And then the sleeve goes all the way down to the elbow and then immediately stops and like droops into a wizard sleeve.
Yes. It's what do they call that? I think they call them bell. They call them like a bell sleeve, which is also, I like wizard sleeve better. Wizard sleeve sounds like an uncircumcised magical person.
Yes.
Wizard sleeve? Get it.
Yes. Get that wizard sleeve. Pull back that wizard sleeve. But anyway, this is a children's program.
Wingardium Leviosa, am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. This is a children's program.
Yeah. Just call it the Hermione Granger. Oh.
I'm actually
because it's wild.
Oh, what were we talking about? Sorry, I just got confused. So
Monster in Law, guys. Jane Fonda. Long story short, she successfully rips apart their relationship on their wedding day, at no the less. End. But she comes to Jesus and reverses her whole motive immediately for no reason, basically. Because her own mother-in-law, her own monster-in-law, shows up to this wedding uninvited. And we don't know who she is. We never heard of her at all.
Literally, she shows up.
But she was kind of She was kind of serving now.
The thing is they looked exactly the same age.
They looked exactly the same
age. They're like, who do we... No,
problematic in love.
John, she was serving. And also,
her look was pretty amazing.
I wanted more of her. Why couldn't she have been more present?
Which, I mean, I hate loving her because they made a point to have the only token gay character, Adam Scott, also say...
Yeah.
After she rolls in there, like grandmother-in-law is like serving everybody, talking truth to everybody. She leaves the room and Adam Scott is there and he's like, I just love you.
Wait.
And I'm like, God damn it. I loved her too.
The thing is,
I'm a stereotypical gay. Yeah,
they knew though.
I love a sassy elderly woman.
They understood.
Who tells it like it
is. I mean, honestly, she may have been the best part of that movie.
Maybe this isn't problematic in law because we also loved Adam Scott's token character's shirt.
I'm not
your future sugar daddy.
The thing is, like, sure, he was just gay enough for 2005 because people weren't ready.
They weren't going flamboyant.
Yeah.
They were going Adam Scott.
Yeah. They do. And
Hum
the
drum.
Thing is like, also, who are we to say it? Because we don't want people to stereotype us. Not everybody's the most feminine. Not everybody's the most,
right?
You know,
but I mean, they went for that
at the time, because I think that's what they knew they could get away with.
Right. Right. I think it was like a beginning of like, some sort of wokeism.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, because they were fully okay with it. She was talking about, she was like, can I bring somebody? Adam Scott's character is like, can I bring somebody? And she was like, sure, can I have a plus one? He was like, I'm dating Dr. So-and-so, who turns out wasn't a doctor for everyone. He worked at the Ivy, which...
Yeah, which is also stereotypical because, like, gay waiter.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I mean, honestly, we do serve.
Yeah, we do serve. So, but so it's a very happy ending, but it does end with, like, them riding off with... And they're like just married convertible mobile. And she's like, and the husband like never did anything for the story.
Absolutely nothing.
Sidelined.
John.
Sidelined. He never got heated. He never got angry. He never got extremely happy. He was like the most lukewarm, like, guy who's just like there to be agreeable to anybody who says anything.
Also, since we're speaking on characters, we did not need the dark haired friend. Adam Scott's character, Remy, was enough.
Yeah.
We did not need the dark haired friend.
We had two best friends. And like there was a dark haired girl who like is there for literally no reason. She's there to walk up some stairs, grab an hors d'oeuvre and be like, that's better than I could have done. Yeah,
John. And let me tell you this. A, we're speaking in alphabets now. A.
A.
B. K. She C. didn't need to be here. Neither
yeah.
did homegirl, the one who was supposed to be splitting them up, who was there for...
Arbitrary.
All right. B and C, because I'm putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the girl who was getting Jane Fonda the coffee right before she figured out she was being replaced by her. This is in the beginning of the movie.
Yes. Yes.
Each one of these people, had they not done this movie, would not have their SAG card.
Oh, very
and
true. Very
it.
True. But
that's
you know what? There, I'm going to go. I'm going misogyny in law and saying they knew someone to get into this movie.
They were unnecessary.
Also, they probably have lifestyles right now where they do not need to be in another monster in law movie.
Probably. You're probably right.
Hunty.
I don't know who Brigitte, these people are. I've never
Bridget
seen them again.
Wilson. Is it Brigitte Wilson or Bridget Wilson?
Brigitte.
They're basically the less successful version of Brigitte Wilson.
But Brigitte Wilson is also the less successful version of this. She was very popular, but what happened to her?
She did a lot of things. She did a lot of stuff, and she got a little bit of a reputation.
Yeah. We'll talk
because
about
of these
her.
Things
you know, we'll
and
talk
stuff.
About her things and stuff later.
Yeah,
because at this point
she did it. She did some stuff around town and got a little bit of a back channel reputation of some things.
From her back channel, huh? She's doing back channel reputation.
She herself is a monster in law. Oh, yeah.
You want to know what's weird? I hadn't thought about Brigitte Williams in so freaking long.
Wilson.
Did I say Williams?
Yeah. It might as well be at this point.
Wilson. Brigitte Wilson.
Yeah.
That's who it is.
Brigitte. It's literally what Tom Hanks yells in Castaway. He's like, Brigitte Wilson.
Wait, so you know, just so I know, and I'm not confusing this person, she has very short platinum blonde hair now, correct?
Yes,
okay, correct. Okay, so we are speaking of the same person. Okay.
Does she look like the 90s version of what we all knew?
No.
Absolutely not.
Not one bit.
I mean, it may as well be the case where somebody killed 90s Brigitte Wilson and assumed her identity and is trying to gaslight and convince us that this is Brigitte Wilson.
John, she's a boo hag. The boo hag will take your skin and wear it until it goes away. I'm so glad
you brought this up.
The boo hag.
She got boo hagged.
She's a boo hag. That's it.
She got boo hagged.
Brigitte Wilson, the boo hag.
So if you guys don't know what a boo hag is, look it up.
Also, we probably shouldn't say it because folklore means that if you are saying its name, you're calling it. But I also didn't tell you what the real name was. And it comes from Appalachias. It's called a haint. Like a taint, but a haint. Like I haint here for this. So
of course, like the Appalachian people would be like, boo hag, haint.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, dude, they're like, no. They don't talk about it.
The Ozarks are just like crawling in with boo hags and haints. They're
full of boo hags, dude. So speaking of a boo hag, this movie was wearing the skin. It wore the skin of something presentable, but deep down on the inside was just rotted.
It was just rotted. I mean, Jane Travolta. What's Jane her name
Travolta.
Again?
I like it. It's Jane Travolta.
Jane Fonda was. I mean, if you are interested in Monster in Law, do it with the expectation of Jane Fonda chewing up the scenery at any given moment in time.
Yes, and as we said before, we are not going to. Here's the thing. We're going to talk about our opinion and tell you what we think. Personally, if you want to watch it, go for it. Now, did I turn it off? No, because it was just enjoyable. We had to watch it. And it was just enjoyable enough, barely. But it got an 18% Rotten Tomatoes score, which it.
That's too much. Absolutely. That's too high.
I was going to say it does. John, I think it's fair. Because that 18% is Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda was like, I haven't done anything for 15 years. I am here to potentially slay the game.
She's the only reason that it wasn't Jack and Jill.
For sure. It was
the 18% was her performance. So she deserved it.
Yeah, if you minus Jane Fonda out of this whole movie, all you get is Jennifer Lopez acting tired.
And some pubes on a urinal. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
Leftover pubes on a urinal.
Right.
And you're like,
and nobody likes that.
You're like, where'd that come from?
And that's boring.
That is boring.
That's dull and boring.
Okay. So, well, then I want to ask you, since we're speaking of ratings, on a scale of 1 to dog shit, what would you rate this? No. Dog shit's not correct. On a scale of 1 2, poisoned gravy, which, by the way, everyone, Jane Fonda tries to murder Jennifer Lopez. Oh,
wait, before we do this whole rating thing, problematic in law. Here we go. Tries to murder by poisoning Jennifer Lopez.
With an allergy.
Also, physically assaults her.
And physically assaults the Britney character.
Physically assaults her. The Britney character. But also, she multiple times in punches, kicks, hits, intentionally inflicts physical pain on characters in the movie.
Yes, especially when she's sleeping.
Including her paid assistant, who's only trying to help, knees her, elbows her, and injures her. Mm-hmm. And she still is her best friend at the end of the day. Also, she's a violent character. Yeah.
So
who doesn't get her comeuppance at all whatsoever.
Also no at the end, you know what pisses me off most about that is after all this, all of it, Jennifer Lopez's character is like, we are going to be there for every sports game, every this, when we choose to have children. She goes,
whenever that happened, I was like, you are nothing. Gaslit, codependent, relationship. I'm not into victim blaming, but I'm blaming the
you want to know what I would have done? I would have called that fucking wedding off and I would have been like, now you have to answer to your son on the wedding day.
I would just be like, hey, because the son is just as much accountable as his mom.
He's an enabler.
He's like eight. He is an enabler. He is a betting. And he is perpetuating this toxic lifestyle. So basically what we're really watching throughout the course of this Jennifer Lopez journey in Made in Manhattan, which is also called Monster in Law.
Yeah, which is which is also called Marry
we're
Me.
We're watching the indoctrination of Jennifer Lopez's
Jeopardy Lopez. Girl, you in Jeopardy Lopez?
Jeopardy Lopez. her indoctrination into an abusive dynamic.
Yeah. But she is fully on board. And she's letting. She was like, you're going to spoil the child. You're going to be at every game. And that I will not. She was like, you have to be there. Anyway, it was supposed to be heartwarming, but I was like, dude.
No, I was like, I'd be like, no, you have to draw the boundary, honey.
Yeah. Time to draw the line.
That was the opposite of drawing a boundary.
Drawing the dude, there was a line in the sand. She had drawn the line and she just got that.
And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to invite you to everything in my life.
Everything.
Everything.
Ugh. So ratings.
Ratings. Okay. What's the rubric?
The rubric is on a scale of one to how did this get made?
It would get like, I don't know. How did this get made? First off, like
on a scale of how did it get that budget?
I hated it so much.
$44 million. $44 million,
but also paid the bills for Adam Scott, Wanda Sykes, Will Arnett, and the leading man who I forgot his name.
I don't know. Yeah. Michael.
yeah. And also made millions of dollars for Jennifer Lopez,
which is insane.
And Jane Fonda.
And the moral of this is everyone, the early 2000s, it was the year of the rom-com. They were everywhere.
Yeah, very true. What was it? The Sweetest Thing.
Oh,
was that it?
I loved The Sweetest Thing. John, can I tell you the other day, I actually at work, I YouTubed the It's Too Big to Fit in Here. And I watched the whole thing.
The random music interlude, which they have an unrated version of that, which is far better than the PG-13 version.
Oh. Absolutely. If you guys want to watch a good rom-com, watch The Sweetest Thing, okay?
Yeah, Sweetest Thing. It's not trying to impress anybody and they know it. They know what it is.
Selma Blair gets
hot.
Selma Blair is hot and she gets stuck on Chris Evans' dick because it's pierced and it gets stuck on her tonsil.
Not Chris Evans, honey.
Who is it?
It's not Chris Evans. I don't know. It's some hot ass actor.
It wasn't Chris Evans.
It's not Chris Evans.
I think that's me wanting it to be Chris Evans.
So she was like living out your Chris Evans fantasy, essentially.
Yeah, my tonsils. Yeah,
for sure. I would not be crying. I'm like, girl, why are you crying?
She was crying. It's like, dude, why don't enjoy the ride? Anyway, that was the first episode of Mean Girls Interrupted.
Mean Girls Interrupted, everybody. Get used to it.
We hope you loved it. We are going to have an email that you can... Hey, if you have a recommendation,
it's linked in the description below.
Yeah. If you have a recommendation of a movie that we haven't watched yet, send us something. Mm-hmm. We literally do not care what the genre is.
Yeah. No rules, everybody.
No rules.
We'll take a crap on anything.
We'll watch it. We might even enjoy it. So
yeah,
we're just here to talk about it and give our own opinion. And it's our opinion.
Yeah.
Literally, the people who make these movies work their fucking asses off They work hard.
They pay a lot of bills. Hundreds of people go into it. So respect.
Listen, for Monster in Law, they all tried. It's not for me. It's for someone else. This might get you through a day at home when you're sick. And if that's you, more power to you.
Yeah. Also, for me, this was relatable content with Monster in Law, but it was like an overly dramatized version, but not so much overly dramatized.
Just you wait.
But you guys get to learn that
later.
Later in life.
And with that, everyone, thank you for listening. We hope to hear you next week. We don't have a date. I think this is probably going to continue coming out. This will come out, Tuesdays, you think?
Yeah. Whenever you're listening to it, that's the day it came out.
When you heard it.
Thanks for listening, guys. And we will see you at the movies. We don't have a sign off agreed upon. So we're going to try a few.
My
pitch is, and we'll see you at the movies. How about you? What do you say, Travis?
And mine is, that's my dick in the popcorn.
And yeah.
Bye.
Is that a snake in here?
Oh, no.
No. There's a worm in my popcorn.
Are you
popcorn.
Just happy to see me, or is that your cock in the popcorn?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that? No, it's butter.
Lovely. Well, bon appetit.
Bye.